What happened? What happened? David wanted to please God. David wanted the ark of God back where it belonged in the center of God's people. David wanted, but it never worked. And Uzzah died as a result, and David was angry with God. Because you see, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that David's heart was to please God. David didn't understand God's ways. And there are a lot of us here that we have a heart that we want to obey God. We want to please God. Let's be honest, if you didn't have at least some of that in you, you wouldn't sit here week after week. Because the truth is preached here. And if you don't want to walk in the light, the truth drives you away. But it's not enough to just want to please God. It's not enough to just want to reach God. It's not enough to just want to serve God. You need to know God's ways. And David didn't. Notice the mistakes he made. First of all, it says in verse 1, he brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He took an army to do this because he thought that would honor God. He thought God was a great king, that an army would impress him. But the word of God never said, bring an army to the ark. Just let me give you some scriptures. I'm not going to turn to all of them, but Exodus 25, 12 to 14. Exodus 25, 12 to 14. Numbers chapter 3, verse 8. Numbers chapter 3, verse 8. And Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy 10, 8. In all these verses, God says the only people that are to handle the furnishings of the tabernacle, the only one that's to do anything, to touch in any way, to do anything about all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the curtain, the sides, the golden lampstand, the altars, the only one who's to touch them in any way are the Levites. Now I look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, and I see 30,000 mighty men, but I don't see any Levites. You see, his heart was to please God, but he wasn't obedient to God. I don't see that David said, it's in my heart to bring the ark of the Lord to the center of his people. So he went to the priests and asked, read me the law of Moses. What does it say concerning the handling of the ark? I don't see that he ever did that even one time. He said, it's in my heart to do it, so however I do it must be okay. Because you see, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. We have a lot of people in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today, and there's some of us right here that's our excuse for things. Well, it's in my heart. Well, it's in my heart. Well, it's in my heart. David was a man. It was in his heart. And then I want you to notice the next thing it says, verse 3. He says, they set the ark of God on a new cart. They set the ark of God on a new cart. Now, again, the verses I gave you, Exodus 25, Numbers 3, Deuteronomy 10, talks about how there were rings built into the side of the ark so that poles could be slid in. And those poles, once they were slid in, were never to be removed. And they were to be remain there forever so that they could be carried by the priests and the Levites on their shoulders. And that's how the ark was to be. But he says he brought a new cart. And I'm sure that he said, oh, no old cart will do. No beat up cart will do. I want a brand new cart to honor God. And you know, a lot of times we think we're honoring God because we do some sacrificial thing. We take a new cart. And we think God will be so pleased because I'm sacrificing and making a brand new cart. I'm not taking an old worn out cart. I'm not taking a battered, shabby, miserable cart. I'm taking a new cart, and God will be so pleased with what I do for Him. But God never said, put the ark on a cart, not even once. Do you know where he got that? 1 Samuel 6:11 says, when the Philistines sent the cart back to Israel, 1 Samuel 6:11, see, it's 1 Samuel 6, 2 Samuel 6. When the Philistines sent the ark back to Israel after they captured it and God showed them who was boss and who wasn't, they sent it back to Israel, and when they did it, they put it on a new cart. David said, well, that's how the Philistines did it, so I'll do it the same way. Let me ask you, is your life filled with that's how the Philistines do it? Because David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to serve God, but he hit a ceiling where God said, you can't do that. You can't be a Timothy. You can't be a man that I have no one like you. Because it's in your heart, but you don't listen to my ways. You want to do things your ways. You want to build a new cart. You want to say, well, this is how I do it. And we cannot be a sold-out believer until we are willing to come to God and learn His ways. And you know what? A lot of us, if we were really honest, we'd say, I'm really angry with God. Like David was in verse 8. I'm angry with God. I've done this, I've done that. God, don't you know what I've done for you? And Uzzah's dead. I went to the prayer meeting, or I prayed at home. I don't have to go to the prayer meeting. I've gone to the Bible study, or I know the Bible well enough. I don't have to have anyone teach me how to know the Bible. I've shared my faith. And we say all these things, and it hasn't worked. And we're angry. And deep down inside, we resent God. God, why didn't you do this in my life? I prayed for my son, and my son, this happened. I prayed for this person in my family, and they didn't do it. I prayed for that. I did this. I did that. And God, you didn't do it. And David was angry with God. Now, some of us maybe aren't as bold as David was. Maybe some of us, we're not angry at God, we're angry at Uzzah. Uzzah, you miserable wretch, why did you do that? You've ruined my day. David at least was honest enough to admit his anger was against God. But I wanted to notice one other thing. Look at verse 9. It says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. And maybe like David, we need to learn some fear of the Lord. I want to do another. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want to show you another incident out of the life of David that really contrasts with what we're going to say in just a couple minutes when we begin to talk about Joshua. If you're familiar with the Scripture and if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you understand, just if you've got a study Bible, the heading of this chapter, what this chapter is about. I'm not going to read the chapter, but I'm going to just kind of tell the story in thumbnail for those of you who might not know it. 2 Samuel chapter 13 is about a story out of the life of David in which his son, his oldest son, for a long time I didn't get straight some of the political designations in here, so I didn't understand some of the story. But Amon, who's one of the chief characters in this story, was David's oldest son and heir to the throne. Amon was supposed to be the next king. And Amon gets in his mind that he has a crush is not the right word. He has a lust for his half-sister, Tamar. And he sets up in some kind of elaborate machinations a plan to rape Tamar. And he does so. Now I want to ask you something. Does that, the fact that Aemon rapes his half-sister, tell you something about David's life in his household? You see, his kids saw something about David, that David had a heart for God, but they saw that David didn't know the ways of God, and they had neither a heart for God, nor did they obey the ways of God. And so now you've got this evil son, Aemon, who rapes his half-sister. The story gets more convoluted because into the picture comes Absalom. Now you have to understand who Absalom is. Absalom is the second-born son and the second in line to the throne. And Absalom is a full sister of Tamar. Aemon is a half-brother to Tamar. Absalom is a full brother to Tamar. Tamar is his full sister. He hears that Aemon, the heir, has raped his full sister, and he's furious. But as it says to him, to her, in verse 20, it says, her brother Absalom says to her, has that Aemon, your brother, been with you? Notice he doesn't say, my brother. It's your brother. He had nothing in his heart for Aemon, man of great hatred. He says, be quiet now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this thing to heart. And Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. When Absalom hears what happens, he's furious, but he's not furious because of what's happened to Tamar. He sees an opportunity. This gives me an excuse to kill Aemon so I can be king. And what's in his heart is, I want to be king no matter what it costs. Neither of these two people, not Aemon, not Absalom, care one whit about Tamar. And they're the children that David has raised to be the next kings of Israel. And I want you to notice something, because this shows David's heart. Now remember, David's heart was right with God. David was a man after God's heart. It says, verse 21, when David heard all this. Now the Word of God says David heard it all. Not a little bit of it. He wasn't guessing. He wasn't filling in the lines. He heard, Aemon has raped Tamar. He heard, Absalom has sent Tamar to his house and is covering it over. When he heard this all, he was furious. Notice the heart word. Almost every time you read a story about David, it tells you about his emotions because he lived by his heart. But he didn't do a single thing about it. He didn't call Aemon in and say, Aemon, you have sinned against God. You are no longer fit to be first prince. You are removed from the line. He didn't discipline him in any way. He didn't hold up for God's holiness one little bit. Now, the Bible had said in Deuteronomy that parents were to train their children in righteousness. But he didn't say, this is unacceptable in any way. He just got really mad. You know, there's a lot of times we can think that because we feel something, you know, I heard about this injustice and I got really mad, so I must be right with God. I heard about this good thing and I got really happy because I heard about it, I must be right with God. David had a heart for God, and his heart was furious when he heard about these things, but he didn't do a thing about them. You see, he had a heart for God, but he didn't know God's ways. And because there was sin in David's past, because of David's adultery, because of David's murder, he was probably thinking, oh, I can't do that, or it'll just draw attention that I'm a hypocrite and did the same thing. But whatever reason, he didn't do what it took. And that meant that he was a man who could never go above a certain level with God. He couldn't be a Timothy because he wasn't willing to walk in God's ways. How about you? I am not saying for a minute you don't need a heart for God. You do. The fact that David, God tolerated all this nonsense from David, is a testimony to how close David's heart was to God. But in the end, that wasn't enough. Now let me assure you of one thing. You and I can never say that we're so close to God that we have a heart like David, that David will put up with our nonsense the way he did David's, because we can say our heart is right with God. See, God said David's heart was right with him, not David. I can say my heart's right with God. That doesn't carry any testimony. David didn't say my heart's right. God said David's a man after my own heart. So I can't assume, oh, God's going to let me go like he did David because I've got a heart like David's heart. I don't know that my heart's like David's heart. But even if it is, that's not enough, because there comes to be a ceiling where God says, I don't care how much your heart's with me. You can't do this thing even though it's in your heart because you've never learned my ways. And if I let you build the tabernacle, if I let you build the temple, you'll do it your way. And I don't want a man that will do it your way. I want somebody who will do it my way. And I want you to contrast that with Joshua. I want you to look at three verses about Joshua that show Joshua. Here's the difference between David and Joshua. We've looked at David's family. Look at what David passed on to his family. Here's what a heart for God, without knowing God's ways, passed on. His sons were rapists and murderers. Now let me ask you, how many of you will be really happy if your spiritual legacy is your children are rapists and murderers? Are you going to see that as a really positive thing in your life? Are you going to say, I thank God that I can glorify the Lord because I have raised a family of rapists and murderers? Or will you say, God have mercy on me, how I have failed you, that I have raised a generation of rapists and murderers? Now, I want you to contrast that to Joshua 24:15. We'll begin at verse 14, Joshua 24:14. Joshua 24:14. Now, fear the Lord. Joshua is speaking. This is his last hurrah. This is his last public speech. This is the end of his ministry. This is the end of his days. And remember, David, God calls him a bloody man. God says you're a man of blood because you've had many wars. Joshua had many wars. You read through the book of Joshua about the people that Joshua led in conquest and massacred. Joshua was a man of war, and yet he was never a bloody man because everything he did it in God's ways, for God's reasons, at God's time, in God's will, and for God's purposes. And so the blood never stuck to Joshua because he was just doing what he was told. But David was a man of blood because he went out and he enjoyed it. And it got into his heart. And Joshua is speaking to you and I, to the people of God, and he says, now hear the Lord, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river. Now this is 40 years into the conquest. Why did they still have gods? People are wicked. And maybe you've got false gods in your heart today, and Joshua would say to you, get rid of them. I don't care what that false god is, get rid of it. Whether it's the ones your fathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Egyptians, or the gods of the Amorites, the Baals and the Asheroths and all that. But in whose land you're living. In other words, their gods really helped them. Can you imagine? They worshiped their gods, and their gods were proven to be nothing but idols that got destroyed, and you would turn around and worship the gods of the people that you went in among. Oh, whew. Just a little side thought, but wow. But as for me and my house, you see, here's what Joshua could say, as for me and my house. You know what? David, even though he had a heart for God, he could never say, me and my house, could he? David could never speak for his house because even though he had a heart for God, he never knew the ways of God, so he never trained his children in the ways of God. He just thought that having a heart in front of them and getting upset when God got upset and being in love with what God, that would be enough. He didn't need to know how God worked. He didn't need to know what God did. He didn't need to know how God did it. And he didn't need to teach those things because he had a heart for God. He thought that was enough. Let me ask you, was David able to say, as for me and my house? But you see, Joshua was, because he knew the ways of God. We're going to see why as we end this message. But I want you to see one other thing before we leave Joshua 24, and that's verse 31. Joshua 24:31, and it says here, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. You see, when we know the ways of God, when we have a heart for God and know the ways of God, the people that are around us either flee from us and won't have anything to do with us, or they serve the Lord throughout our lifetime. Now let me ask you, do you want to be a Joshua or do you want to be a David? Do you just want to have a heart for God but not know His ways, or do you want to be a man that could say, me and my house? Here's what he says. It says, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. His example was so strong that all the other godly leadership followed his example. And as long as that generation was alive, all Israel served the Lord. All the elders who had outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. Let me ask you, do you want that to be your godly legacy? You see, that's the godly legacy of a Timothy. Do you want to be a Timothy? Then you have to be a Joshua. It's not enough to say, oh, I love the Lord, and I know I'm not doing this, and I know I am doing that, and I know that this isn't right, but, and I know that. No, Joshua was a man who knew the ways of God. Now, why was that? Why was that? Let me give you an insight into Joshua. It's found in Exodus chapter 33. And then we're done. Exodus chapter 33, and then we're done. Exodus 33, and then we're done. Here we are. Exodus 33. You want to be a Joshua. You want to be a Timothy. You want to know, be a person that God could say, I have no one like Timothy. You want to be one of those people. It's not enough to say, I've got a heart for God. It's not enough to say, I love God. It's not enough to say, I want to please God. It's not enough. We've got to go another step. And that next step is, we've got to know the ways of God. We've got to understand what God does, why He does it, how He does it, and we have to do things His way. Here's what it says about Joshua. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. Now Moses, Exodus 33:7, it says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. If you wanted to know God, where did you go? If you wanted to know God, where did you go? Outside to the... Okay. And whenever, how often? Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people, how many of the people? All the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents. Is that stupid or what? Now, wait a minute. Let's look at this. God told Moses to make this tent, and Moses made a tent, and he said, if anyone wants to inquire of the Lord, go to the tent. Moses goes out, and the people know God's going to come down to meet with Moses. Where do they stay? In their tents. You know, there's a lot of people in this church that stay in their tents when God's coming down. You can't stay in your tent to worship the Lord when God's coming down to the tent of meeting. That's what the church is. You can't do it. It doesn't work. But that's what they did. They stood at the entrances of their tents watching Moses until he entered the tent. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. They could have been there and seen God speak to Moses. But you know what? They were in their own tents. Let me ask you, how often are you in your tent when God's coming down in the tent of meeting? You don't understand I'm tired. You don't understand I'm this, I'm that. I've got other things. Let me ask you, is there anything more important than being in the tent of meeting when God comes down? And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the temple, they all stood and worshiped, each at the tent entrance to his tent. Oh, they worshiped, but you see, did that help them? Because was God pleased with most of these people? What is the testimony of Scripture about these people that worshiped at the door of their tent? Well, read 1 Corinthians as we did in this last series about the Word of God. Read 1 Corinthians 10. The Bible says God was not pleased with most of them, doesn't it? But I'm going to show you a different person. And I'm going to ask you to be a Joshua, a Timothy, not just have a heart for God. It says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. You know what? I hope it would have been in my heart that if I knew that God was going to speak to somebody, I'd be there just to listen to the words. I wouldn't care a whit whether God spoke to me or not. It would be wonderful if he did, but if God was going to speak to anyone, just to be there and hear him speak. Because whatever God says is precious. And if you don't value every word out of the mouth of God, then there's a serious deficiency in your heart. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But, oh, look at this wonderful but. But his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Where was Joshua while Moses was speaking with God? Was Joshua at the door of his tent? Was Joshua worshiping the Lord? Hey, the Lord's over there in the tent. I'll worship from here. Joshua was in the tent with Moses to hear what God had to say. And you know what? Joshua learned God's ways. Oh, you're saying Joshua was perfect. No, I'm not. He messed up. Just read the story of Ai. Joshua made mistakes. But he immediately inquired of the Lord. And God told him what to do, and he did it without question. He knew the ways of God. And folks, it's time, way past time. It's 15 years almost beyond the time that we should be sitting in a Bible study and ask who's really sold out, who's a Timothy that God would say, I have no one like them. And to hear, well, nobody. Well, maybe five. Well, maybe three. Well, maybe six. We have a better covenant. We have something Joshua didn't have. Joshua did not have the Holy Spirit in the same way that the least believer has today. Joshua didn't have the whole Bible that we have. He didn't have anything about David. He couldn't say, you know what David teaches us? He didn't have Isaiah. He didn't have Jeremiah. And he definitely did not have the words of Jesus. But he was able to do that. Now, if Joshua could do that with what little he had, how come we would settle for anything less than being like Him? Let me ask you, when people say, oh, I leave and I feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad today when you leave. Here's what I want you to do as you leave. I want your heart to burn. The Bible says of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn as Jesus opened to us the Scripture? I want you to leave with your heart burning with this one thing. Will I be a Timothy? Will I be a person that God could say, I'm your person? Will I be a person that God would say, you're my person? Don't have anybody like you. Now, it's not going to be enough to say I have a heart for God and I worship Him in the door of the tent of my meeting. I don't stay home standing in the door of my house and worship the Lord while Moses. I want to be a person like Joshua that knows God's ways. Is that in your heart today? Are you sitting there going, oh, it's finally over, it's 11 o'clock, time to go home? Or are you saying, I want to stay in the house of meeting and seek the heart of the Lord? And I want to pledge myself to begin to be transformed by what, the same way Joshua was, that for 40 years he just laid in that tent, sat in that tent, stood in that tent while Moses was talking to God. Never says God spoke to him. Never says he spoke to God. He just stood there and let God teach Moses and by Moses teach him all the ways of God. And for 40 years, he heard God tell Moses what to do. And when God comes to Joshua and says, you're in charge, you know what Joshua would say? No problem, Lord. I know what to do. I've been with Moses 40 years. I've heard every word you've ever said to him. Thank you, Lord. He didn't come to Joshua and Joshua would go, what could I do now? Give me a cram course, God. He said, oh, praise God, I've been prepared. I've walked with Moses, the man of God, into the tent of meeting, and I've been there when you revealed your ways, shared your heart. I know what to do. And God says to Joshua, never. He doesn't say, you don't know what to do. He says, just be strong and courageous to do what you know to do. That's all you need is a little courage and a little strength. You know what to do because you've learned my ways. Do you know God's ways today? Or have you contented yourself by saying, well, I've got a heart for God? And then you wonder why God will never take you beyond this level. Will you sell out to be a Timothy? Let me assure you of one thing. All those other guys that Paul wrote about that cared for their own interests when he talked about Timothy, I guarantee you today that none of them are saying, man, I'm glad I lived that way. But I'll tell you what, I know Timothy's saying 2,000 years later, boy, am I so glad I was a man, that my heart was different from the rest. I knew God's ways and I did it. And Paul could say of me, there's nobody like him. And oh, I thank God that that's what God put in my heart. And I guarantee you 2,000 years from today, you will not say, oh, I'm glad I didn't listen to that stuff and I got ahead in this life and I did whatever. You'll never say, I'm glad of that, but you will say, oh, I'm glad I turned my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to be all that I could be, to have a heart for Him and to know His ways. I'm glad I was like Joshua. I'm glad I was like Timothy. Oh, how wonderful it is. Let's bow together. Lord, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I want to be a Joshua. I want to be somebody that doesn't even know he's going to be used, that's just, I love that description from Exodus 33, his young aide. I just want to be a young aide hanging out, hearing your voice. Oh, Lord, your voice is sweet. Your voice is wonderful. Your ways are best. Everything in the world is stupid compared to your ways. Every plan, every scheme, everything of man has no power compared to your ways. Lord, I want to learn your ways. I want to know your ways. I want your ways to be lived out in my life. I want your ways to be lived out in my family. I want those who know you that are around me to live your ways. I want it to be said in our day better than could be said in Paul's day, because we should be further than they are. I want it to be where we could be able to say here, you know, all of us, God could say of, I have no one like them. Not for pride, not to say how great we are, because the minute we have the least little pride in that, then God can't say a word positive for us. Lord, I want you to so change us that we're a people after your heart, but beyond that, we're a people that know your way. And Lord, I know I'm not speaking to everybody, because there's some people here that are saying one of two things: either I don't want it, or I'm not willing to pay the price for it. But Lord, for those hearts who are here, be they few or many, Lord, I pray that you would take this message and you would begin to shape in us Timothy's in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Hymn number 504. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No.